Well, good morning and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Shannon Baxter. I am the pastor of Congregational Connection. I am so glad to be in worship with you here this morning. If you are a first-time visitor, we are so thankful that you have come to be here today. There is a pew pad on the end of each pew that we would ask everyone to fill out and just let us know you're here. Give us an opportunity to reach out to you and connect with you. If you're worshiping online, there's a link on the screen that you can click on that does the same thing. We do have quite a bit going on in the life of the church this week and over the next couple of weeks. And so I encourage you to take that home with you and put it on your refrigerator and keep it handy. First, I want to mention off that our college students are invited to Chat and Chew directly after this worship service. Pastor Amy will meet them in the narthex in the back. And so if you would like to go and have a free lunch and are a student here in Nashville, please join them for that time of fellowship and food. We also will have our trunk or treat from 3 to 5 in the lower parking lot. So feel free to come with your children and your grandchildren and have some fun getting some candy. The Mozart Requiem concert will be tonight at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Our choir and music ministry will bless us with that, so I encourage you to come and be a part of that. All Saints Sunday is next week, and that is the day that we commemorate those who have been in the life of our church and have gone on and completed their journey and have died in the past year. So I encourage you to come next week as we honor those beautiful members. Next week, we will also have the West End Family Meetup. So if you would like to gather with other families here at West End, they will be meeting at Bringles Barbecue on Centennial Boulevard at 11:30 a.m. next Sunday. So that information is in your bulletin as well. We also have a number of Election Week resources as we come upon our election season. I want to encourage you to check out our website and also check the bulletin. There are ways that you can be in prayer with us and with the community as the election season comes up and is upon us at this moment. We will have the sanctuary open next Wednesday from 5:30 on to about 7:30, excuse me, next Tuesday from 5:30 till 7:30 p.m. for some open prayer time. Prior to that, the sanctuary will be open for a virtual prayer service. So anytime between 7 and 5:30 during that day, 7 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., you can access our website and find a way to be in prayer for our community and for our nation. The following day, on Wednesday, we will have our Wednesday night supper. And then following that, we will have a service of communion and prayer here in the sanctuary as we lift our community again up to the Lord. As has been mentioned in the last couple of weeks, we are in stewardship season, and today is Giving Sunday. It's a day where we celebrate and commemorate our congregation giving back to what it is that God is calling us to give. Over the past couple of months, our church leadership and staff have been hard at work trying to discern what it is that should be our priorities for the coming year. And Giving Sunday is the day that we all commit ourselves to that work. A portion of that is our financial givings, but the other portion of that is the fullness of ourselves. When we become members, we vow to prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So it's more than just our monetary gifts, but ourselves that we give to our community. So I want to encourage you, as you are here in worship today, if there is a way that God is nudging you to serve beyond your finances this next year, I would encourage you to write that down on a prayer card and place it in the offering plate during the offering time. We look at it as a great way for us to hear from you how it is that God is calling you so that we can be a better servants of God through this congregation. Now may our hearts and minds be open to the presence of God as we worship today.
Thank you. please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. God of grace, show us your love this day. Clear our lives of all that clouds our vision. Lord Christ, have mercy upon us. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, thank you for loving us in all things. In the midst of noise and chaos, thank you for responding to our cries for your embrace and healing. God of every ache, help us to befriend our bodies, awaken a compassion, a tenderness to the parts of us that are hurting, changing, or tiring. Help us to exist in the truth of what we need. Give us the courage to ask for your intervention so that we may be restored and strengthened to follow you. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
prayer for illumination. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scripture read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today we have a lesson from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 823 in your pew Bible or page 338 in the story Bible. And they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, who was also a beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's time. If you're joining us online, I invite you to come a little closer to the screen. Hello. Good morning, y'all. I'm so excited to see you. Have we got some more friends coming up? All right. All right. Well, I have a question for you guys today, and all you got to do is raise your hand. How many of you have turned to your parents and said, "Where are my shoes?" Or maybe, "Where's my stuffy? Mom, where did you put my hat?" Only to turn around and have your mom or your dad or your brother say, "It's right there, right where you left it." I'll admit that happens to me a lot. You can ask Pastor Amy and my mom. That happens to me quite a bit. But it seems that this happens to a lot of us, doesn't it? I know some folks who have asked, "Where are my glasses?" only to figure out they're right here on their face. We tend to fail to notice some things around us, don't we? We forget. In today's scripture, Jesus healed someone that the people walked by day in and day out, and they didn't notice him. They forgot about him. Yet Jesus took the time to listen and to interact with him and to bless him. And he was encouraged. He was encouraged in his faith. So I think one thing that we can learn from this story is that God wants us to notice the people and the things going on around us. God wants us to be a part of what God is doing in the world. And the best way to do that is to notice it. So I want to encourage you, as we go home today, as you go to school, as you hang out with your friends, notice what's going on around you. And ask God, "How can I be a part of the good that you're doing in the world?" Will y'all pray with me? Dear God, we give thanks and we ask that you would help us to notice. Help us to notice and hear and learn of the things going on around us so that we can be a part of what you're doing in the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, if you are 3, 4, or 5 or in kindergarten, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. Everybody else can go have a seat. I will admit, in some ways, it was a little too personal to reveal that I tend to forget things, especially with my wife and family in the audience today. I know we all have our moments, but it becomes worse, doesn't it, when someone points that out to us. As we hear from Mark's gospel today, one thing I think Jesus does is he points out to the people of Jericho that they may have forgotten something or someone. If we consider what we know about the city of Jericho, it's a fairly major city in the history of Israel. If you've been to Vacation Bible School maybe just once or watched VeggieTales as a kid, you'll remember that it's a famous city from the Old Testament. This is where we are told the people of Israel take hold of the promised land, where they march around the city for days on end and blow trumpets and the city walls fall so that they can defeat their enemies. It's only about 20 miles due east of Jerusalem, so it's crossroads where a place many people would have walked through, specifically if they were on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It was a town that held a lot of significance. Knowing this, it struck me as when I read this that the story of Bartimaeus is the only one to come out of Jesus' visit to this major city. Truth be told, Mark, as a writer, is concise. Being the shortest of the four Gospels, he has Jesus traveling fairly quickly throughout his ministry, often using the word immediately to show that things happened quickly. As we read the opening sentence, we can assume that Jesus did some pretty amazing things in the city, as there is a large crowd following him as he leaves. Jesus, no doubt, did as he did in so many other cities and towns and roadways. He preached the good news of God's kingdom, performed miracles, and showed compassion in a way that people had never experienced before. Yet Mark doesn't record any of that. The author only takes notice of Jesus' closing encounter with the city. And it doesn't offer the best impression of the city, to be honest. After seeing the wonders of Jesus' ministry, the people attempt to quiet a blind beggar that they doubt, that they no doubt come in contact with quite regularly. When Bartimaeus heard who was coming through, he became excited. He had no doubt heard about the miracles Jesus had performed, perhaps prior to his visit to Jericho, or perhaps just days before on the other side of the wall. He had heard of the words of love and acceptance that Jesus preached, and he cried out. Here was his chance. Yet the people tried to quiet him. Bartimaeus, as so many others we have read about in the Gospels and throughout the Old Testament, relied upon the kindness of the people around them when they couldn't work to earn a living. In fact, there is a direct correlation between poverty and disability that spans history up into our own day and time. These individuals would place themselves in the middle of heavy traffic, hoping for kind souls to give them alms that they could exchange for food and water. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Why wouldn't the people of the great city of Jericho want Bartimaeus to interact with Jesus? Why did they quiet him? What did they think would happen? Regardless of the reasoning, we see Jesus break through it and take the time to listen to Bartimaeus. And it's the fact that Jesus is listening and the way Mark records this encounter that can help us see the beauty of such interactions throughout Jesus' ministry on earth. An interesting note to consider is the fact that Bartimaeus is actually named here in Mark's gospel. As I mentioned before, the author of Mark is a concise writer, so the fact that they are taking the time not only to record the name of the beggar, the person being healed, but they mention his father as well. And it gives us more than enough reason to pause. Mark's words are intentional. Again, we don't hear about anyone Jesus met while in the city, but we do hear about the blind person that he met outside its walls. Perhaps the author's audience knew who Bartimaeus or his father were, so this would make the story more personal to them. The account, as recorded in the books of Matthew and Luke, do not name the ones being healed. So to hear a story about someone they knew that they interacted with would add depth and tangibility to their faith. We all can attest to the power of story to speak to us on a personal level. For each of us, there's probably one story or two stories that we heard along the way that someone shared that helped make faith in Christ something tangible, something real, and something personal. They have the power. Stories have the power to speak directly to our hearts and to open our hearts to the love of God that has been knocking all along. A more academic approach may be to look at the meaning of Bartimaeus' name. Bartimaeus simply means son of Timaeus. Yet the name Timaeus in the Israelite native Aramaic tongue means unclean. So son of the unclean. Yet in the Greek, Timaeus means highly prized. Son of the highly prized. What an interesting juxtaposition here. It encapsulates the ministry of Jesus in such a beautiful way. The ways of old would heap the blame for blindness on the individual claiming that they are unclean because of something they did or their family did before them. Perhaps it's something they haven't accounted for yet, but they are reaping the consequences. Because of this, some would think they are not worthy to speak to the Messiah. Hence, the people attempt to quiet him. Yet the gospel teaches us that Christ sought out those who were marginalized and raised them up to a place of honor. Last week, Pastor Amy helped us to understand this through the story of James and John's request of Jesus to put them on the right or the left as he comes into his glory. Jesus's response is that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The economy of importance and power is flipped on its head. And here Jesus continues to drive home that point. Therein may lie the interpretation for the author's decision not to record anything that happened within the walls of the city of Jericho. The important story here is not that Jesus did amazing things and that people from the great city followed Jesus, but that he gave time to someone others deemed unclean or unrighteous simply because of a disability or a perceived lack of need, perceived lack. And because of that attention, this man's faith in who Jesus was and the impact that faith had on his life was made public. So how can this story highlight for us the way of faith, the way of acknowledging God's work in the world and our need for God's presence in our own lives? Bartimaeus' actions, I think, are one way that give us a powerful example of how we can recognize this work. Upon hearing it was Jesus who was coming, he remembers the accounts about the times Jesus raised people from the dead or healed someone of their blindness. He may have heard that directly from the people of Jericho or travelers to the city who marveled at the power of Jesus and the words that he spoke. So when he realizes this Jesus is close at hand, he can't help but cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." These seemingly simple words would later become the foundation for the ancient Christian practice called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The practice of praying these words repetitively goes back to the beginning of the Christian monastic movement. Much like a breath prayer, praying these words repeatedly allows the heart and the mind to focus on who Jesus is and recounts our need for God's grace. According to the author Tony Jones, it is a continuous, uninterrupted call on the holy name of Jesus with the lips, mind, and heart. And in the awareness of his abiding presence, it is a plea for his blessing in all undertakings, in all places, at all times, even in sleep. Bartimaeus cries out with these words of identification of who Jesus is and puts himself at the whims of Jesus' mercy. Upon hearing that he has been invited to come to see the teacher, he jumps up and throws off his cloak and comes straight away. This act of throwing away the cloak is an act of faith in and of itself. For someone such as Bartimaeus, the cloak would have been crucial to his livelihood. As I learned from our Vanderbilt Divinity intern, Ray Green, this cloak was an avenue he used to collect the alms passersby would give him. Without it, he would have no way of keeping track of the generosity of the people. In immediately throwing off this cloak, he would have no idea where it was if Jesus had not healed him. As he did this, he is making a statement that the promise that Jesus represents is here. That the way of life that he had been accustomed to for many years is about to be over. He has no thought in his mind that Jesus will not help him to have a new life. The question Jesus offers to Bartimaeus is so important here. What do you want me to do for you? Such an open-ended question. It feels like a blank check, doesn't it? How would we respond to that? The rich young man who Pastor Will preached about a few weeks ago was in effect asked by Jesus this question and was unable to live up to what Jesus was offering. James and John were asked this question by Jesus and were offered a challenge to think differently about the way of faith. How would Jesus respond to Bartimaeus' request? What would Bartimaeus do with Jesus' offering? In this moment, the man responds with his greatest desire, the greatest barrier to his faith. I wish to see again. A huge ask, a leap of faith to think that Jesus would or could accommodate it. Jesus simply responds, "Go. Your faith has made you well." Upon receiving his sight again, he responds by following Jesus, akin to the way the disciples first followed Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. And in no small way, we remember what comes after this story. Jesus goes directly to Jerusalem for his last visit. Here we see a remarkable example of co-laboring. Jesus replies to Bartimaeus' request with a suggestion that the faith it took for him to throw off his cloak, to throw off his livelihood and the physical manifestation of all his prayers for healing, was an important part of the act of healing for Bartimaeus. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus is visiting his hometown and is unable to work many miracles there because the people lack faith in who he is. In our denomination's theology, we believe that God has given all people free will or the ability to make their own decision whether or not to follow Christ. The ability to do so is a gift of God's grace to us, yet it is important to note that we have been given agency. This is yet another proof of God's immense love for us and all humanity. Salvation is not forced on us, but is lovingly offered. We are constantly wooed by God to respond with faith and humility. Bartimaeus' faith takes a role in his healing. This does not suggest that God cannot act unless we believe in it, but it does say that our faith has a part to play in how God reveals God's self to the world. We are invited to notice for ourselves where God is at work, where God has intervened in our lives and the lives of others, and to make that known to the world as we come in contact with it. God will never stop offering God's self to all people, and what we are called to do in response is to prioritize that call. What a rich story. What a rich story. We could probably go on for some time gleaning much more information from how God chooses to interact with the world, who God chooses to prioritize, and what we are called to do in response. The gospel writer puts the story of Bartimaeus' healing as the most significant event that happened when Jesus visited Jericho. What does that say to us individually? What is God calling this congregation to prioritize as a result of hearing a story like this? As we look ahead to 2025 for the ministries that we'll support, how is God calling us to respond? These questions are not mutually exclusive, but integral to the church's mission in the world. We are all called to have faith and to participate in that faith. How do we do that? As we simply walk out these doors today, how do we do that as we look into the future of how God is calling us to be God's people? May we have the faith of Bartimaeus. May we recognize Jesus' reordering of the world by bringing us side by side. May we listen to the call to give all of ourselves over to the work of revealing the love of Christ to the world around us. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith printed in our bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team as we meet and pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, the gray cards in front of you, you can fill them out and place them in the offertory when the plates are passed. Please take note of the prayer requests listed in our bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. This morning, we offer prayers for comfort and presence of compassionate love with Matt and Jan Morrison as we mourn the death of Matt's mother, Betty Morrison. The funeral for Betty is Monday, October 28th at 2:30 at Hillsborough Church of Christ. And now, let us turn our hearts to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of life-giving love, with each new morning, O God, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness. We are reminded daily that you have started a good work in us and you will see it through. We know this to be true, O God, but as we look out our windows and within our homes, we grow weary. We witness wars where the death toll climbs higher each day with no end in sight. We feel the tension rising in our neighborhoods as we near a national election. The weight of bad diagnoses, long recoveries, and tragic losses weigh heavily on our shoulders. We feel as if we're surrounded by darkness. In your mercy, lighten the darkness that surrounds our hearts. We humbly ask that you give us deep hope and resilient faith. We pray for peace in the Middle East, for peace in Ukraine, for peace in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in our homes. God, we pray for our elected officials and individuals running for public office today. We ask that you guide them to promote peace, justice, and love. We pray for a country that, regardless of the results of this election, we will not forget our call to be good neighbors or our call to be a beacon of hope and a source of love to those in need. By your Holy Spirit, bring us together. Guide us in our discernment as we seek to discover how we can carry out your true and holy will. And now, let us pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power in the glory forever. Amen.
As we come to this time of our regular giving of our tithes and offerings, I want to remind you that today is Giving Sunday. As I mentioned before, it's a day that we take our estimate of giving cards, we place them in the offering plate, or we submit them online, whatever way works best for you. And we commit to the work that God asks us to do as a congregation in the world. If you've not had a chance to fill those out, there are cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can place them in the offering plates as they are passed. As I mentioned before, that is also online. You can fill that out online. If you'll remember, I also issued a challenge to see other ways that God may be calling you into service this next year. If you have a way that God has warmed your heart with, I want to encourage you to write that on one of the prayer request cards and place it in the offering plate. And as we, as your staff, as your leadership team, as we see those, we will know where God is leading us as a congregation and know just who to ask to help guide us there. Now may our hearts and our minds be turned towards God as we remember God's generosity for us. May we be generous to the world. One of the joys of my ministry here at West End is when I get to celebrate with people that have found a home in West End. And so today I want to invite up Cam Culver, and I want to invite up Bailey, the Boyle family, Scott and Bailey Boyle. I would love to introduce them to you all. We're excited to welcome Scott and Bailey Boyle as the new and their newest member to the family. We're so excited. Tell me her name.
Raleigh.
Raleigh is her name. In addition to caring for the needs of their new little one, Scott works in revenue management at Gordon Food Services, and Bailey works with the Belmont Animal Hospital. They enjoy everything outdoors and, of course, everything with their new little one, spending time with family and friends and their two dogs, Mowgli and Mike. And Cam Culver is no stranger to West End. Prior to recently moving to New York City, he was a member of our choir and other areas of ministry. He is now back and excited to join the church. He is the director of development for Argo US and is co-founder of Principal AI. He enjoys art, hiking, singing in the choir, and spending time with his pet Barbie, or his dog Barbie. Now, we are so thankful that you all have made West End your home, and we are so excited to see what God will do through you in this place and how God will grow your faith here. I do have a few questions for all of you. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of the body of Christ of this congregation, called to be a loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Wonderful. Now, I would like to invite the rest of us to please rise in body or in spirit and help me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Cam, Scott, and Bailey are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we pray faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We're so excited that you all have decided to make this your home, and we are all now family. And so I encourage everyone at the end of the service, we'll invite them to step out into Reed Hall, and please take your time to come and celebrate with them and welcome them into the family that is West End. Now hear these words. May the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. hear this benediction. May you have the faith of Bartimaeus, the faith that when we see Jesus coming, we shout all the more and ask for God's presence in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.